Good morning. We thank God for His love. We thank God for His care. And by the grace of God, we've been looking at what we call the hidden wisdoms or the mysteries of God, the mysteries of Christ, and just seeing the things that God prepared in advance for us. And as we've been seeing, first of all, we've been seeing that how God hid, you know, Christ. He hid Him in flesh. God, divinity was hidden in humanity. And we've seen how God not only hides Himself, but He chose to reveal Himself through the Son. Yet they could not understand unless their eyes were open, unless they had understanding. And we've been seeing how God just was pleased to dwell in bodily form. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in bodily form in Christ and in Jesus Christ. And the beauty of it is that He continues to dwell, because the Bible says out of that fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. And He has also established that Christ may also dwell in our hearts by faith, that we may be rooted and established in love. And then He goes on to say that we might be filled with the fullness, with the fullness. Each of us have the ability to be filled with the fullness of God. And that tells us that it is us that yield our members. It is us that yield ourselves. The Bible tells us that, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, in which God dwells in your temple. God dwells in your body. And it says, therefore, honor God with your body, you know. And anyone that does not honor God, God shall destroy, you know, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, to take care of our health, to take care of, you know, of our lives, because indeed we are a house of God. We are indeed that temple. And God desires that He continues to dwell in us. And the Bible tells us that He will dwell in our hearts by faith. So today we are carrying on with this theme of looking at what are some of these hidden wisdoms of God and hidden mysteries that are in Christ. And I want us to settle on 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we need to understand about, you know, this hidden or spiritual wisdom that God has given. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul starts to preach to the church in Corinth, and he tells them that, and from verse 1 it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, he sets a foundation that in his initial preaching, he did not, you know, he was not focusing on wisdom. He was not focusing on speaking nicely. But in his initial preaching to them, he just chose to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then he tells them that he was not focusing on persuasion, you know, of words of human wisdom. But what he focused on was the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that tells us that, you know, there are levels that, you know, when we are bringing people to Christ, remember, the Jews look for a sign and the Greeks look for wisdom, you know. So there are two kinds of people who are always looking when they come to hear the message. There are those who are moved by the wisdom. There are those who are moved by you know, by the wisdom that is being released. But then there are also those who are moved by signs and wonders. And you see, in that point, he wanted that their faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But then verse 6 is where he now starts to speak of the importance of spiritual wisdom and the importance of the wisdom of God. And verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. That means that at the onset of his faith, at the onset of his preaching, he could only speak to them as babes. I remember he later on says, I mean, when we read the book of Corinthians, he tries to tell them that, I wish I could have addressed you as mature, but you are not mature. So because of that, I can only write to you as babes. And he says, mere infants in Christ. So now he tells them that, you see, however, there is a wisdom. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had known they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. I want to pause there. So he's saying that there is still a wisdom. You know, in God, you will discover that there are depths and there are depths. You will think you have touched the surface, but then as you long to see him, as you are hungry to see him, then God releases and continues to reveal more and more of him. And he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So what is God saying? He's saying that there is a mystery, there is a wisdom, there is a message of wisdom that we speak among them that are mature, among them that are perfect. Remember, God desires that we grow unto a perfect man. Who is this perfect man? It is Christ. As we are growing into Christ, as we start to look like him, to speak like him, to talk like him, to move like him, then we are now growing into that perfect man. And so when people are being perfected and when we have been brought to perfection, which is the work of the apostles, of the prophets, of the pastors, of the teachers, of the evangelists, as their work, which is to build the body so that everyone is established in the unity of the faith and unto a perfect man, then this perfect man is the one that God starts to speak this wisdom, the wisdom of the mature, the wisdom of the just. Remember, he says he will return the fathers to the and the sons to the wisdom of the just. The heart of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers and to the wisdom of the just. So there is a wisdom of the mature. There is a wisdom of those who have come to their full knowledge and to their full understanding that they are sons of God and that they are brought into the image of the man from above, of the heavenly man. Just as we bore the image of the earthly man, Adam, we who have born again, we who have received Christ, will also do bear the image of the heavenly man. So that is why we must always be conscious that as we are growing, we are being perfected. The Bible says, as we behold his glory, we are continually being changed and being transformed with an ever-increasing glory into the very image. That means that what you see of God, what you perceive of God, as you continue to see it, you're being transformed into it. And there is really a principle of what we see. Remember when God speaks to one of the prophets and he asks him, what do you see? And he says, I see the branch of an almond tree. And this is Jeremiah. And the Lord says, you have seen correctly. That means that God desires that our eyes see. We have spiritual eyes. Remember, there are those who have eyes, but eyes, when it comes to the kingdom of God, does not necessarily mean that it is this physical eyes, but it speaks to spiritual understanding. It speaks to a heart that understands, a heart that has insight, where the eyes of our inner man, of our understanding, are flooded with light. So the place that God wants us to go in his wisdom is that we get to the place where God is able to flood our hearts with light, that we can have understanding that comes from him, that God gives us spiritual wisdom floods our hearts with light that we can have understanding of the deep things of God. So there is a wisdom of God that is not just available at the surface level. There is a wisdom of God that God desires to speak to people, but when they are not yet ready, he is limited in speaking to them. And you can see how Jesus tells his disciples that, you know, I have many things to tell you, but I cannot for now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall guide you into all truth. And remember, when Jesus is resurrected, the Bible says he for 40 days he spends time teaching his disciples through the Holy Spirit of things pertaining to the kingdom. So that means that before he left, he now started to make things very clearly to them so that they now understood the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And I desire that even as we continue to listen, that God will open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to see, to hear, and to understand, because there are three levels of it that we have to see. We first are brought to the place of sight, where God shows us something. Like, you can think of how Moses was going through, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, and the Bible says that he saw a burning bush. So the first thing that God brought him to that place was a place of sight. He saw something in God. And the Bible says when God had seen that Moses had looked and had come, was approaching, then he told him, then he spoke to him that, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. That means that God, whenever he wants to speak to us, he flashes something before us. He just brings a thought or a scripture to us. And he checks to see if you're interested to hear from him, if you're interested to continue to hear to that voice, that simple voice that comes just as a whisper. The thing with God, as long as you start to be obedient to the little leadings, then he is able to trust you with bigger leadings. He's able to trust you with greater things. I mean, if you're not obedient in the little, when he says he that is not faithful with little cannot be trusted with much, but he that is faithful with little will be is faithful with much. That means that when God has seen you faithful in little things, that means he has already declared you faithful with much. So there is the wisdom of this age, which God had declared for our glory. And what is this wisdom? That God had kept Christ. He had prepared Christ, who is the Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that He comes and bees our life. He comes and bees to dwell in us, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all this he had ordained for our glory. And that wisdom is hidden and encapsulated in Christ. It is only in Christ that that wisdom is hidden. Because if the rulers of this age had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They did not know that by crucifying Jesus, they were bringing other sons into glory, that Jesus had to die so that he is not the only one that is a partaker of that glory. But the Bible says it pleased the Father into bringing many sons into glory. And you can read that in Hebrews chapter 2. It pleased the Father. And when you take a study there, and maybe God will help us to look at it in detail, is that you will see that Jesus became a partaker. God became a partaker of flesh and blood. And because he partook of flesh and blood, we also, when we are brought as sons, he also brings us to be partakers of the glory of God. And we are partakers of that. When we are partakers of that, that means that God shares some of his glory. He shares his glory with us. You can think of how kings would have ministers, would have, you know, servants, would have captains, would have different levels, and each of them are given a level of glory. That right now, when you see a minister and he's moving with his entourage, you will be able to clearly see that this minister or this ambassador has a form of glory, has a form of beauty that is poured out from the person that leads him, from the person that has sent him. And likewise, when God says we are ambassadors of Christ, as God was proclaiming, making his appeal through us that be reconciled to God, in the same way, you can think of how when a person is sent, he goes at the expense of the sending country. Likewise, and he has a form of glory, he has a form of majesty. Likewise, in the same way that when we are called into glory, when God makes us partakers of his glory, that means he gives us his responsibilities. He gives us his rulership on the earth and the glory that we exercise is on the earth. And that is why, as you understand this message, God lifts you. God promotes you. God gives you places of authority. God gives you leadership positions. God gives you opportunities to influence the world. God gives you ideas that will elevate you to the highest places in the land, in this world, that you can be an icon, that you can stand for the gospel, you can stand for truth. And that is the glory that God has ordained for his sons, that his glory is not just for the world to come, but also for this earth, because God's plan with man was on this earth. God's divine plan with man has always and will always be on this earth. So it is something that we have to be aware of, that God's plan is on the earth for man. For man, God's plan is on the earth. And so in this life, God will give you glory. When you know him, when you have found him, when you have come to encounter him. And this, you can think of how he speaks to Peter. When Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he tells him, Peter, this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father which is heaven. And you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth is loosed in heaven. And that tells us that when we come to a full revelation of God, we receive the right to also find our full revelation of who we are. We receive the right to be known. And Peter received the right to know who he is in Christ the moment he was able to have the revelation, to receive the wisdom of who God is. And the Bible tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has understood what the Lord has prepared for those that love him. And I was just reminded to go back to where we spoke of Moses. Moses saw. Once he saw, then God brought the hearing and told him, take off your shoes. And he told him, I am calling forth. And then Moses argued. And then eventually he understood. So first we see, then when we have seen what God wants to bring to our attention, then we go to the place of hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of God, the place. And then beyond that, then we go to understanding. And let us not feel that God has hidden these things. The Bible says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Going back to our original 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These things that God had hidden for our glory, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God searches the deep things. Yeah, the deep things of God. And God has given us his Spirit to search out the deep things of God, because no one knows the thoughts of a man except his Spirit. So God is telling us that no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And that means that when God has given us his Spirit, the Spirit of God within us is able to know the thoughts of God, is able to search out the deep things of God, the deep thoughts of God, the deep ideas of God. And I believe God still has even more mysteries for us to know and to discover, to connect of what he has revealed through his Son. There is far much more, be it in science, be it in land, be it in geology, be it in technology, be it, you know, we think we have seen it all, but there is even so much more that God desires to reveal to his children. And he says, we have the mind of Christ. That means that when we have the Spirit of God, He searches out the thoughts of God and He reveals them to us freely, freely. These things are freely given to us. Think of the Holy Spirit as a search engine like Google. And when you are praying, especially when you are praying in tongues, your ear must be attentive to hear what God is saying. And purpose to always, because it's like as you're using the search engine, then it starts to search the deep things of God. Likewise, when you pray in tongues, then what happens as you're focusing on your praying in tongues, as you're focusing on praying, then as your ears are open, then God will either show you something, or He will either speak something to you, or He will either bring understanding to your heart, the thoughts to your heart. That's the place where God is calling us to learn how to search the deep things of God. And the secret is in praying in tongues. And that's why Paul says that, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And he was full of revelations. And he says, and he gives us, that was his secret. I thank God that I pray in tongues than all of you. That means he knew that in that searching of the things of God, in that searching through speaking in tongues, he is able to search out and find out the thoughts of God. And when God has given you his thoughts, then you have the mind of Christ. That means you can impact this world. You can impact your generation. You can impact your family. You can impact your colleagues at the workplace. You can impact the community. You can impact the whole world. You can be the light to the whole world. God says that all these are hidden wisdoms that we speak to the mature. Those that are not mature will not understand this because it is foolishness to them. But we that are mature, we that are growing in maturity, and pray that God give me understanding, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Bible says if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously unto all without finding fault. That's the book of James, the first chapter. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously unto all without finding fault. And I'll stop there and call us to that place. If we lack wisdom, the Bible says, let us ask God, who gives generously unto all without finding fault. And when he asks, let him not doubt. That's all God says. When you've asked, do not doubt. My brother, you're welcome. As God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Martha. Nothing much for myself.
Okay. It is well. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence. We thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your word that comes forth in truth for us to understand, for us to know the things that you have hidden from the rest, the things that you have hidden from the wise of this world. But you kept it for us. You kept it for our glory. And you're calling us to that place of maturity, to the wisdom of the just, to the wisdom of those that are made perfect, to the wisdom of the mature. The things that you hid in Christ, who is the Spirit of God, who is the wisdom of God, who through the Spirit of God has revealed these things to us, that we are not hidden, we are not covered, our eyes are not covered, but we see plainly as we see, as we behold the glory of God, and we are being transformed into that very image. And I pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom for myself. I pray for wisdom for my brother. Pray for wisdom for my hearer, that Lord, you shall release the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they shall have understanding and insight of the word of God, insight of truth, because only in you can we find truth and understanding. You say in your word, the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple. Thank you that through your words we are made wise. We are made wiser than our teachers. We are made wiser than all the enchanters of Babylon. We are made wiser than them. And you have made us to shine. Oh God, may we shine and continue to shine for your glory. This day is blessed. Our going out, our coming back is blessed. Cover us, shelter us, strengthen us, walk with us. We trust in you and we depend on you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.